Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the IAAF Diamond League Media Conference Call with Valerie Adams. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star one on your telephone. I must advise this conference is being recorded today on Friday, the 8th of May, 2015. And I'd now like to hand over to your first speaker for today, Mr. Phil Minchell. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks very much for joining us on this IAAF Diamond League Media Conference Call. It's the second of this year's conference calls, and it heralds the start of the Diamond League, which is coming up next Friday with the first meeting in the series in Doha, followed very quickly 2 days later by one in Shanghai. On the call today is Valerie Adams, who really needs very little introduction. She's the reigning Olympic and world champion in the shot put and, of course, the 2014 World Athlete of the Year. Now, many of you will be familiar with how the conference calls work. I'm just going to ask Valerie a couple of quick questions to get things going, and then we'll open the floor to questions from the people who are on the conference call. Good morning, Valerie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Now, Valerie, I know you're in Switzerland now. You're training in Magelin, which is your European base. Just tell us a few things. I mean, we, of course, remember seeing you both at the World Athlete of the Year Gala, where you picked up the top prize, the World Athlete of the Year. But we also know you've had surgery during the course of the winter. Tell us what how things have been going, training-wise, and, of course, what your competition plans are.
Well, it's been a pretty hard and slow process. Straight after surgery, had double surgery about 6.5 months ago, which was very successful, but the road to recovery was a little bit longer than what I anticipated. But in saying that, it was two surgeries, and one of them was a nerve where they had to move the nerve from the ulnar nerve around. But now, so far, so good. Been here in Switzerland now 3 weeks, and we are progressing well. Every week there is progression, so I cannot be too hard on myself. But competition-wise, I know this is a question on everybody else's mind that they're going to ask me probably over and over again, and the answer is, you know, I have my plans in my head, but I'm going to make sure that I'm ready before I announce anything. I am not going to be competing in Shanghai or Oslo Diamond Leagues, as I feel I won't be ready to compete there yet, but heading forward to the next ones, hopefully I will be ready to be there, because I don't want to come out and start competing at 80%. I want to make sure that I'm ready 100%.
Well, that's understandable that you won't be competing in Shanghai and Oslo, but nevertheless, I mean, the Diamond League is very important to you. I know you've been the Diamond Race winner in your event for the last 4 years. You're the all-time leading Diamond League winner at 24 competitions, and also you top the rankings in terms of points, ahead of even Renaud Lavinie, who, of course, is your counterpart as the World Athlete of the Year. Just tell us how important it is competing in the Diamond League and what the Diamond League means to you.
It is very important. I think it gives us an opportunity to compete against our opponents at such a high-level competition. These opportunities never weren't really there when I started track and field, especially at the high level. But in the last 4 or 5 years, it has been a great opportunity for us to be able to challenge ourselves with our competitors being there at majority of the Diamond League events. I think it is important to showcase our sport this way, also to showcase to the public, maybe help that particular city in some sort of campaign or project they may have going on, kids' athletics. You know, it's just all about getting our kids out there and being active and healthy as they are the future of this world. But it is a way for us to showcase what we love to do, and that is track and field.
Well, that sounds very good indeed. And we do look forward to actually seeing you a bit later on, I'm sure. And, of course, if you're not competing in Shanghai and Oslo, that still leaves another 5 meetings in which you can aim to retain your Diamond Race title.
Yep.
Operator, can I hand it back now to the participants on the conference call? Are there any questions at this time? And I wonder if you could remind people about how they can actually lodge a question to Valerie.
Of course. Thank you very much. If you wish to ask a question over the phone lines, then please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel this request, you can press the hash key. So once again, that's star 1 if you wish to ask a question over the phone lines.
Do we have any questions at this time?
We do have one question come through from line of Elliot Smith from Radio Sport News. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Hi, Valerie. Look, since you've obviously gone over to Europe, how is the recovery going? How have you tested out that injury in the last month or so since you departed New Zealand?
I think I've been able to slip right back into Jean-Pierre's training schedule and regime. That was something that it was always on my mind while I was at home, was making sure that I was ready for whatever he had coming at me when I got to Switzerland. But in saying that now, it's been pretty good in the last 3 weeks. It's been pretty hard for me physically, just my body getting used to the workload and also the tonnage of weights. Every week there is a progression, whether it's 1.5 kilos up to 5-10 kilos, and we got to take that progression as it comes. Throwing wise, we are a lot more consistent. I am a lot happier that, you know, I am with Jean-Pierre, because technical work is very important, and it's very important to have your coach there, because I mean, he has the eye for it, he has the feel for it, and it's really hard to do on your own from time to time. So far so good. He's happy, I'm happy, and you know, it's just work in progress. We just have to be patient and make sure that we stick to our guns.
I'm not sure if I can ask a follow-up question, but in terms of your schedule, you obviously outlined that in the first question, but is there a possibility you may only get one or two Diamond League events under the belt before hopefully heading to the Worlds?
I'm not quite sure, but, you know, there is, like, I'm not doing Shanghai and Oslo, that is, you know, out there, but there is five more left. So, you know, I am hoping to do two before World Champs, and hoping to compete in other competitions before World Championships. I mean, for us this year, World Champs is the focus, and it is a big focus, but not forgetting that the bigger focus and the bigger goal here is Rio next year. So, as I said in the first go, that, you know, I'm going to make sure that I am ready to compete. When I'm ready to compete, that's when I'm going to compete, and I don't want to go out there and just compete at 80%. It's just not how I would like to go out there and compete in my first competition. I need to be confident and ready to rock and roll. The way we are tracking at the moment, you know, we are giving ourselves a bit more time before our first competition, and, you know, we're not in a situation where we can rush ourselves. It's just the way it is, and it is nature with our body, just the way it is. So we just have to give it time, and we do have time on our side. I mean, that's the luxury thing about this. We do have time on our side, so we go and do whatever we can to, you know, hopefully compete in July, but we won't know until we get there, really.
Sure. Thanks, Valerie.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. No further questions currently, but as a reminder, it's star one to ask a question.
Let me jump in there, Valerie, while we're waiting for somebody else to ask you a question. I mean, were you looking at the results of the indoor season? You obviously this year, I mean, you've never been a frequent competitor in the indoor season, but popping out for the World Indoor Championships. What indicators did you get from the indoor season as to who your main rivals might be?
Well, to be honest, like, I have had a look at it, some of it. I mean, there was just one person through, I think two people through over 19 metres. Anita Martin and Michelle Carter. Outdoor season at the moment, you know, nobody's cracked 19 yet. But, you know, in saying that, we are still early on in the season. There are quite a few young girls coming up now. I know Christina Svanitz has had surgery on her knee. I'm not quite sure, you know, when she's starting and all the rest of it. But, you know, it's just, I mean, we have to play it smartly and a lot more safer this year than any other year. And we just got to deal with the situation that we got. But, you know, I have to pick my game up, and I know that there are a lot more younger girls coming through this year than any other year.
And how quickly was it to recover from the hand injury that you got in Morocco when you were getting an injection?
Oh, God. Let's just say it wasn't quick at all. So an injection was supposed to last like 2 hours, lasted like 24 hours. That was probably one of the most freakiest injections I've had in my life. It ruined me mentally. Let's just say that.
Operator, do we have more questions at this time?
And we do have one further question from the line of Mike Rowbottom from Inside the Game. Please go ahead.
Hello there, Valerie. I just wanted to ask you a more general question, which is the statistic. Forgive me, I missed the very beginning of this call, and if it's already been mentioned, forgive me for mentioning it again, but your outstanding record as an athlete of consecutive victories and overall victories within Diamond League. It's the obvious question, really, but how do you motivate yourself for yet another round of being number one? Because I know you're not taking it for granted, but that mental effort has to be made, you know, to get yourself to go around and do the work yet again. How do you manage to keep on at the level you are?
I think the hunger for the sport and the hunger to win is still there and highly on my radar. This year, definitely with the surgery, is definitely like, really had to work my mind and my mental state, because I've really had to kind of buckle down and make sure that I'm mentally prepared for whatever was to be thrown at me. Now, with the surgery, the way it went and you know, all the rest of it, it's been a very frustrating time, very difficult time for me physically and mentally and also emotionally after I had surgery. Like, about 3 months ago, I wasn't sure if I was going to throw a shot put properly and all the rest of it. Now that I've been able to do that here and starting to train and throw again, that's just given me more motivation to make sure that, you know, I stay on top for as long as possible. These young girls are trying to kick me out, and that's fine. That's sport, and one day it is going to happen, but I'm going to fight, you know, with every tooth and nail in my body to be able to stay on top for as long as possible. My other motivation is surely my country, New Zealand. You know, we come from a very small country on the bottom of the world with 60 million sheep and 4 million people. It's just great to be competitive and be out there doing what we love and compete for a country that you absolutely truly love. Rio is the ultimate. Rio and trying to win the Olympics again for a third time, that is the ultimate goal. So my mind is set on Rio. People keep asking me what's going to happen after Rio. I honestly don't know, and I actually really don't want to think about it right now, because Rio is my main focus, and I want to make sure that whatever happens, I'm there fully ready to go physically and mentally and emotionally and be in the best shape of my life once I get to Rio. Now, I know, you know, age is catching up with me sometimes. My body's catching up with me, but in saying that, we will do whatever we can.
Sorry, thank you, Varu. Can I just clarify, I missed a little bit when you said 3 months ago you were thinking, I didn't quite catch everything you said.
So 3 months ago it was really hard for me to throw a shot put, and you know, it started playing on my mind whether or not I would be able to throw a shot put like I did before, you know, because the release of the nerve pain, what they did was move the nerve from the bottom to the top, and then they cut a hole through a muscle in my forearm to thread it through it, because it was just flicking. The tendon wasn't going well. It was pretty much rotten. So these are all things that, you know, happen in time with athletes, just overuse, lots of training. I mean, everything catches up, but that's all kind of gone and bypassed behind me, and now I'm, you know, in a new phase, and I can throw now, and I can throw a heavier shot now, which is good.
Right, okay, thank you.
Let me just jump in there. I mean, you were talking about not looking too far down the line after Rio. Can you, Rhys Hoffa now is 37 and he's still going strong. Can you envisage yourself throwing?
He's a male, you see. It's a little bit different for males and females. You know, females have got to consider things like motherhood and, you know, all the rest of it. He's a male. He just chops and goes.
Operator, do we have another question?
We do. Your next question comes from the line of John Mulking. Please go ahead.
Hiya. Both this year and last year, you've kind of started the season off with injuries that you've had to contend with. So looking to next year, but what do you think you'll be capable of, you know, kind of distance-wise, if you get a good winter block behind you and a good block of training?
I don't know. That's a $1 million question. Let's just hope that I have no more surgeries this year. I've had 2 years in a row where I've had to go home and have surgery, two surgeries actually in one hit. So I'm not quite sure. Whatever it takes to stay at the top, whatever it takes to win the Olympics is what I'm going to aim for. Distance-wise, I'm not 100% sure. You know, 20 metres these days is still a great throw to have under your belt. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
And is it kind of difficult motivation-wise to start each season off when you know that you're not completely at your best?
No, it isn't. You just have to take it for what it is, you know. I mean, you cannot control what goes on. You cannot control how your body reacts to things, and you just have to accept it and work with it. Last year, I had to really work hard with the injuries that I did have, and I still managed to stay on top, and I still managed to throw a world lead. I just have to do the same this year. I just have to try and do, you know, do the same next year, but with even more more of a hit behind me. It's just one of those things, you know. With as time goes on, age catches up, but my competitive spirit is still there, and I still believe that, you know, I can still crack that 21 meters again. So, you know, I just have to have that self belief and that work ethic behind me, and hopefully we will be able to see results.
Thanks.
Operator, do we have another question?
You do. Your next question comes from Andrea Buongiovanni. Please go ahead.
Hi. You just mentioned you're coming from New Zealand. I was wondering whether you are into rugby at all and maybe covering or following the World Cup coming in September, following the All Blacks, of course.
Oh, God. Okay, rugby. well, rugby is our national sport, and I'm proud of, you know, the All Blacks and what they do, but I do track and field, and this is the track and field question answer, and I suppose when I get home, rugby will be in our faces 24 hours a day when the Rugby World Cup is on.
All right.
Operator, do we have another question?
Thank you. Two further questions, and your next question comes from Andrew Alderson. Please go ahead.
Okay, Val, Andrew speaking here from the Herald. Just looking to get a gauge from you as to what sort of a motivational force Jean-Pierre has been in your build-up back from injury, and also your, I guess, famed physio, etc., Lulabel.
Jean-Pierre has been awesome. He's obviously been a massive help to me throughout my surgery, and especially trying to get me back. For him, it was just as hard, I suppose, seeing me in such a way physically when he did come to New Zealand in January, February, because when I left him in September here after the season last year, I was in pain, but you couldn't physically see it. Where this year, when he came back over to New Zealand, he really had to, you know, I suppose, accept the fact that this was it and work with what we've got. He's been nothing but amazing since I've been here in Switzerland. He obviously always wants the best out of me as an athlete, but he's, you know, quite understanding as a person as well, which has been awesome. Now Lulabel, on the other hand, she's an angel, she's magic. She actually arrives into Switzerland next week, which I can't wait for. But she's been a important part of my team. We've been together now 15 years as coach and physio. As athlete and physio, and she knows my body inside out, which makes a big difference because she's able to know what needs to be done when this happens or what treatment needs to be done or who we need to see and all the rest of it. And I'm just very blessed and grateful that these people are in my life and is part of the team. And to be honest, like, the team really, when we travel the world and compete at Worlds and stuff, is Lulabel, JP and I.
And Val, just a quick thought. I missed the first minute or so of the press conference, but just have you firmed up your thinking ahead of the World Champs as to what events you will do?
No, I haven't really, but I have had some thoughts of the competitions I may want to do or be ready to do. I won't be doing Shanghai and Oslo, that's obvious, but come July, hopefully I'll be ready to compete then. I won't be rushing anything. I will compete when I am 100%, and but it's just one of those, it's kind of like a waiting game. To some extent, but in saying that, since I've been here three weeks now, and the progression has been pretty good. So JP's happy, I'm happy, and every week we just have to get there, you know, just win, just make them gains, just a little bit at a time, and hopefully by the time July comes around, we'll be ready to rock and roll.
And are you back using the eccentric concentric machine in full force?
First week when I was back, mate. This man loves this machine so much. No, first week since I'm back. And I think the most comforting thing about, like, the whole training and stuff is that my legs and my power and my legs and my lower body is at, like, just back up to scratch where it needs to be. It's just my upper body is just taking a little bit, obviously, more bit more time to catch up. So it's not, you know, 100%... not rubbish, but got the cost. But, you know, the upper body is obviously the areas which I did have surgery in. So, you know, that's got to progressively get better as the weeks go on. So it's good. JP's happy, you know, happy coach, happy life, I always say.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. And your next question comes from Elliot Smith from Radio Sport. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just one last one from me, Valerie. Obviously, I think you had Tom Walsh over training with you last year. Will you have anyone coming over to train with you and Jean-Pierre in the summer over there?
No, I don't think this year. No, I don't think so this year. And that's cool. I mean, doesn't bother me whether people come or not. It's just, you know, it is an individual sport. We got to do what we got to do. But I think the people that really come this year will be my medical team, Shirley, and Adam, who's my other strength coach who helped me in New Zealand. He was here for a couple of weeks, and he left last week. So that was really good. But mainly my medical team will make more trips this year over to Switzerland.
Cool, thank you.
Thank you. And we have a follow-up question from Mike Rowbottom. Please go ahead.
Valerie, hi. It's just one's a very simple question. Where are you in Switzerland right now?
In a place called Macklingen. It's the Olympic training centre in Switzerland. I've been here 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, on that subject, it's because of the geography, you lead such a sort of strangely divided life, really. You've had this pattern of Europe and then home, Europe and then home. Do you just sort of switch into two different modes completely when you're at home and away?
I like how you call it strangely divided life. basically I do. Like when I'm in Switzerland, it's work. You know, basically it's work. That's,
yeah.
And things are different here. I live in an apartment, a very small apartment. You know, I'm up at the training centre all day, every day. But it's good because I have more time for me to rest after training. I can go back home, you know, cook something to eat, relax, rest my mind, and actually get a good night's rest ready for the day's training tomorrow. Now, being at home, no place like home, it's amazing. All my friends and family around me, it's just a gorgeous place to be. I can walk out my front door in my jandals, and it's no big deal. You know, my car's parked outside of my house and not 200 meters away, that type of stuff. You take those things for granted, but I switch back into New Zealand mode pretty easily. But, you know, being home, it's great because all my mates and stuff are there, but it's quite hard work and it's very tiring because on top of training and stuff, I've got all my commitments, which I've got to do, and my schedule always becomes overloaded with things to do. And that's, I suppose, the hardest part, the hardest part about being home is that I never have enough time to do other stuff apart from, you know, what I've got to do. Where here in Switzerland, I'm mentally more rested than being at home, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Valerie, can I just ask a question then? So we're 5 months away from you actually having got that World Athlete of the Year award. What was the reaction like in New Zealand?
Pretty awesome, very positive. It was great for New Zealand, and I think, on the other hand, it's great for throwers and field eventers. I think it's the first time that both awards were won by field eventers, which was just awesome.
Operator, do we have another question, please?
No further questions currently from the phones.
Sweet.
I'll just give it a moment with anybody else wanting to ask a question. It's a unique opportunity, obviously, to have Valerie on the line, and obviously we're finding out a lot about what her plans are, and she's going to be one of the stars, I'm sure, once she's fully recovered, of the World Championships coming up later this summer in Beijing. Anybody else want to ask a question at this stage?
As another reminder, it's star one to ask a question. And we've had another question come through from the line of Ian Chudland. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, Valerie. Just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what Phil was asking you about New Zealand's reaction to your triumphs. I mean, what is the feeling towards you there now from, I mean, you know, obviously it's a nation renowned for its rugby players, but have you become a real star there now? I mean, do they really make a big fuss of you?
I just like to see it as Val being Val, and people know who I am. People recognise me wherever I go, and that's cool. But I just see it as Val being Val. I mean, yeah, I don't really like to make a big fuss of it, but people certainly know who I am and what I do and all the rest of it, which is cool. I think at the end of the day, for me, it's more important for me to be able to inspire our young kids of New Zealand to make better choices and, you know, have work hard for a better future for themselves, to be honest. That's where my goal in life is, to inspire that one child to make that, you know, that choice which is going to change your life forever. But I just think I'm just Val.
I just also wanted to just check with the plans that this summer, because it's such a difficult summer in a sense, you know, the comeback. How much is the protection of this extraordinary unbeaten record on? How much does that actually prey on your mind, or do you actually think, well, because it's such a difficult comeback this year, have you almost in your mind sort of thought, yeah, I'm bound to lose one?
Well, if you start thinking like that, you might as well retire, I think. But you know, in my mind, is that, you know, I'm not going to start competing until I'm 100% and know that I'm ready to compete and you know, give the girls a good run for their money. I am certainly, I do know that one day this winning streak is going to come to an end. When, I don't know, but one thing is for sure is that, you know, I'm not going to start competing until I am ready. And I think that's more, it's not so much for the winning streak, but I think it's more for my confidence and also for my preparation leading into World Champs.
Would you try and get a couple of low-key meetings, obviously, to start with, to ease your way back in? Or is that the plan, and then go for the biggies?
Oh, well, I don't know, to be honest. Come July, I'm hoping they can start competing in July, and then, you know, whatever competitions come up and we're ready to go, then that's what we're going to do. I suppose I can find a couple of small comps and work my way up to it, but I'm not quite sure. I think I will decide when the time comes, and when I'm ready to go, then it's all on, because I'm going to make sure that when I do start competing, I'm going to compete like Val did last year, you know, and Val does any other year, is make sure they go in there and compete with all I got. So
if you were a betting woman,
I'm not a betting woman, so do not ask a betting question.
By the end of the year, would you think that you would still be unbeaten?
I don't know. See, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, predict anything that I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what frame of mind I'm going to be in, or what situation I am going to be in. What I do know is that I'm going to compete with all I've got at that first competition and be ready to compete. And whatever's thrown at me is what I'm going to deal with. So we just have to wait and see, sir.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Operator, do we have another question, please?
We do a follow-up question from Mike Rowbottom. Please go ahead.
Valerie, hi. It's a bit of a random question, but it just interests me whether you have an answer to it. What has been, looking back at the competitions you've had, what was the hardest, toughest one to win? Or indeed, not to win?
Last year?
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. Just any, you know, looking back on the career thus far, can you think that, you personally think to yourself, wow, that was tough, that one?
Probably the Diamond League in New York last year.
Really?
Yeah, because I was in really bad state physically. It was my 50th competition, so I had 49 wins before that, 50th competition, and I was in America, and Michelle Carter was in front of me. But like, I don't know, 5 or 10 centimeters or something. And the fifth round I came through and I beat her. But that was a really tough one. I really had to dig deep for that. And that was mainly because of, you know, and that's something that, like a competition or a distance that means nothing to me normally. I just pop it out, bang, bang, bang. Where last year was very hard for me because of my physical state. But I really had to dig deep for that competition and managed to get the win, you know, at the end of it. But let me tell you, it took every ounce of my energy out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
Operator, do we have another question, please?
No further questions currently.
Just as a follow-up then to what Mike was asking, with your having to really dig deep in New York last year and talking about your physical condition, has that actually conditioned, if you like, what's your thoughts about coming back and coming back into competition much later this year after how hard it was earlier in the season last year?
I think it's smarter. It was a smart move. I've never actually missed a season since I started track and field. So this year has been a more difficult year to, I suppose it was hard for me to accept the fact that this is what we had to do. But these, I mean, it happens. You're an athlete, and it happens. There are times where it's good. There are times when it's bad. Where this is the first time I've really had it challenging right in my face, and I've had to push things back hell of a lot later than what I would have hoped for. But you know, it's just a situation, and I mean, I've had a pretty good run right up until the end of last year. And physically, I couldn't handle it anymore without any surgery. And this is the way it is.
Just changing tack a little bit, this year, of course, is a year when there's going to be the IAAF World Youth Championships. And that was an event where you first made your mark back in 2001. Just for everybody out there, what does the IAAF World Youth Championships mean to you? And what did it mean back winning back in 2001? Seems like a long time ago, I know.
I know it does. I think it's a great stepping stone for these young athletes, you know, from youth to junior, then to senior. I think it is fantastic for them to go and compete at World Juniors, to be exposed to high-level competition and to be put under the pressures that we get put under at major events. It is a good, you know, good experience for them because they know what to expect come World Juniors, which is a higher competition than come to, you know, senior World Champs and Olympic Games. It's even more pressurized. So I think the World Youth is a fantastic way to start track and field.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
We have a follow-up question from Ian Chadband. Please go ahead.
Valerie, I just missed the very start of this conference when you were talking about your rehabilitation. I just wondered, it sounds from what I gleaned that it was clearly very, very difficult for you. I mean, was there any point where you thought maybe this is it? You know, I won't come back at all. But, you know, I've had a good run. You know, I'll call it a day.
It was very difficult. It was very difficult. First of all, it was my throwing arm. Second of all, it was nerve pain, so something I've never experienced before. Muscles, ligaments, all the rest of it, I've had it before, where the nerve is just something else. It just, thankfully, the pain definitely kills you. You know, I did have my thoughts and my doubts, but this was like maybe a week or 2 weeks after I got out of surgery, which is quite, I think, normal way of thinking. But when the time went on because I really lost feeling in my index, in my ring finger and my pinky on my right hand side for a very long time, and that scared me to the point where I couldn't pick my phone up or anything like that. It definitely took a lot of. I had to really dig deep during my rehab and recovery time to be able to come out of this one, because it didn't. I mean, track and field and my career was one thing, but my life was another thing, and just living life as normally as possible, doing really simple things like cutting your fingernails or just, you know, scratching your hair or tying your hair up, or that started freaking me out because I didn't have no strength in that hand whatsoever. But as time has gone on, obviously my confidence has come back. My confidence and my trust in my hand has definitely come back now, but I had to really dig deep and really, really work hard doing the most bizarre exercises and seeing the most bizarre people to try and make it work. But, you know, it definitely did really power my mind. But, you know, I got through it. I got through that really dark period.
When you say that you see some unusual people, and was it anything to sort of try and get you back, what sort of specialist did you go?
Well, I had to go, like, see hand therapists and all the rest of it, you know, doing, like, really weird exercises. I mean, you're talking like about a power athlete here who does things in big masses and like everything's just robust and rip shit and the whole lot, where now I had to be very gentle and do very gentle exercises with my fingers and, you know, do awkward stretches and just awkward stuff. And I had to really stick to those things that they were telling me to do, because it's an area where I've never faced before. We normally do the normal ice or heat or the rest of it, or stretching or massaging. That this time didn't work for my hand or didn't work for my fingers. So I really had to be patient with this one, and hence why we've had to push the season out longer than what it has than what it is because of my elbow, because of the nerves.
I just wanted to ask one other thing, Valerie. Being longer term, I mean, you've obviously targeted the Olympics. Are you seeing that as a grand farewell, or would you carry on and, you know, push on until who knows when?
Olympics is my main target. I'll keep going to the Olympics and do whatever I can to be there and be ready for it. After the Olympics, to be honest, I don't know. It's a million-dollar question, but I don't know. I just want to focus on the Olympics and see where life takes me. It's too far to think.
This time at the Olympics, winning the Olympics and being able to get your medal at the Olympics itself would be the perfect show. How much of a disappointment was it? I'm sure you've talked about this before, but you know, not to be able to collect your gold medal in London.
Absolutely crap. I mean, that was the biggest thing that was missing, was that that the moment was taken away, you know, and you can't get that back. But they're able to, you know, make some sort of moment in New Zealand and to be able to enjoy the medal with the rest of the country. But it was crap. It was absolutely something that I would not wish upon my worst enemy. You've worked so hard for that one moment, and then somebody else takes it away from you.
It still gnaws away at you, or you forget about it now until I brought it up.
It's done and dusted until people bring it up. But you know, it is what it is. I've got my, you know, my revenge. I've got my medal at home, so you know, I am the rightful owner of that medal, and we just gotta, you know, that story is part of history now, and it's part of the 2012 Olympic Games story. So, you know, time to move on and rewrite something else for Rio.
Brilliant. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Operator, do we have any more questions?
No further questions in the phone lines.
Well, if there's no further questions, we've been chatting to Valerie for nearly 40 minutes now. I think this is a good moment to wrap it up and say thank you very much indeed to Valerie for being such a willing and open participant in this conference call. As I was saying, this is heralding the start of the Diamond League next week. It starts on Friday, the 15th of May in Doha, 2 days later in Shanghai. So thank you very much for everybody, and look forward to hopefully seeing some of you around the Diamond League in the coming months. And, of course, good luck to Valerie in her recovery, and I'm sure we'll see her as well in a couple of months.
Thank you very much. That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for participating, and you're now free to disconnect.